What's the deal with?
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد إن شاء الله تعالى we have now one of our dear and respected students of knowledge and one of our sheikhs Salim al-Hilali Abu Usama Jazahullahu Khaira, who's going to talk about the characteristics of the righteous people in general, with a special emphasis on the characteristics of those people who are the strangers who are trying to hold on to the Book of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi wa Ala Alihi wa Sallam. Last night, Ikhwan, we realized that you guys were in a serious jihad in terms of hearing the translation. You hear the Arabic person speaking and then you have to wait for the translator. So it wasn't an appropriate time to choose for the talk or the nadwa, the symposium, to be that late at night, because we saw so many people sleeping and falling out. Actually, had it not been for the time, for the fact that the time allotted, it was only a few minutes, I would have made a ta'liq on this issue, but we let you go because we wanted to have some mercy on you. Part of you being here for only 3 or 4 days is that this is just that. It's only a few minutes. So people have to make jihad against sleep and against the shaitan and do your best to bring the information, especially in a class like this, because you have the opportunity, as I translate and I give it back to you, you can write all of the information down. So these are the best times and examples to be a student of knowledge. Now when you get tired, you have to just get up and change your seat, wash your face or something like that. And it goes to show us lastly the importance of all of you brothers learning the Arabic language. Everyone making an effort now, because the Arabic language is the miftah, or it is the key. And if you don't learn it, you're going to forever be dependent upon other people to translate properly or improperly. So those brothers who are on the way of learning Arabic, you try to understand as much as the Sheikh says, and then when you hear the translation, you say, MashaAllah, I'm better than I was yesterday. So without any further delay, we bring our brother and our Sheikh Abu Usama Salim al-Hilali. Fadli ya Sheikh.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، أيها الأخوة في الله، عنوان مؤتمرنا في هذا السنة هو طوبى للغرباء. وقد تكلم كثير من الإخوان الذين سبقوا في المحاضرات عن طوبى للغرباء، وهذه طوبى بشرى للمسلمين، بشرى للغرباء، بشرى للصالحين، بشرى للمتبعين للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن طوبى تعني بشرى في لغة العرب، وتعني في الاصطلاح وفي حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها شجرة في الجنة يخرج من أكمامها حلية أهل الجنة. فيبشر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الغرباء بأن لهم الجنة، والتبشير في الكتاب والسنة هو للمؤمنين. وبشر عباد الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، نرجو الله تبارك وتعالى أن نكون منهم. لذلك وردت صفات كثيرة للغرباء في كتاب الله وفي سنة رسول الله وفي كلام السلف الأول، نأخذ منها بعض الأمور. الأول أنهم غرباء، والغربة تعني أنهم في وسط أناس لا ينتمون إليهم في شعورهم وفي منهجهم وفي عاداتهم وفي اعتقاداتهم، رغم أنهم قد ينتموا إليهم في لسانهم، قد ينتموا إليهم في جنسهم، وقد ينتموا إليهم في وطنهم. فما الذي فرق بين هؤلاء وهؤلاء؟ إنه الإسلام، إنه الدين. لذلك بدأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبين أن الغربة غربة الإسلام، وأن هؤلاء غرباء لاتباعهم الإسلام، وأنهم داروا مع الإسلام حيث دار، ولم يتركوا الإسلام حيث تركه الناس. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ، فطوبى للغرباء. طوبى للغرباء، أصبحوا غرباء لأن دين الإسلام أصبح غريبا، فهم يسيرون مع الدين ويسيرون مع الإسلام، ولا يقبلون بالإسلام بديلا ولا يريدون عنه تحويلا. فإنهم متمسكون بالإسلام مهما كانت الظروف التي من حولهم والتي تدعوهم إلى ترك الإسلام، إما قولا وإما عملا وإما حالا وإما سلوكا.
If anyone has some bigger paper, like posters or something like that, it'd be better. But I need a lot, something like that. The Sheikh began by, I need a lot of paper. The Sheikh began by starting Khutbat al-Hajar. By mentioning Khutbat al-Hajar, and then after that he said, my brothers in Islam, the title and the topic that we're going to discuss today, as you all know, in this conference, we're talking about the Tuba for the Ghuraba. He went on to say that the people who are participating in the conference already, they have preceded me, and many of them have taken different angles to deal with this situation. The Tuba being for the Ghuraba. And he said this Tuba that we're going to talk about is something that we have to understand, because a Tuba is giving glad tidings about something, that it is a bushra. And we find Tuba also means what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam identified in his authentic hadith, when he said that a Tuba was a tree in the middle of paradise that is going to be shade and a source of comfort for those who believe. He went on to say that the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam, he has given this bushra or these glad tidings to the strangers because they are going to enter into the Jannah. And we have to always remember that the bushra is for the believers, as Allah said in so many places of the Quran and in the Quran, Bashir al-Mu'mineen, give glad tidings to those who believe. Allah said in another ayat, give glad tidings to those who hear the word and they follow the best portion of the word. He went on to say that their characteristics, the ghuraba, their characteristics has come to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah and in the statements of the people of the past, the righteous predecessors. For an example, we find al-ghuraba being described to us, yarhamakallah, in which they have been described as being those who are with the people and the people pay no attention to them. The people pay no attention to the manhaj that they are upon, or the aqidah that they are upon, or the type of worship that they are upon. He went on to say that the thing that distinguishes between them, distinguishes them and differentiates between them and the other people, is this Islam and their approach to al-Islam. Al-Islam is going to be strange, and they are going to be strangers because of the small amount of people who are following them and who are following al-Islam. And under no circumstances would you find these strangers, these ghuraba, being people who for any reason they leave their Islam and what they deem to be the authentic way and what is al-Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, verily al-Islam begins strange and is going to return as a stranger, so tuba for those ghuraba. Either this paradise or this tree in paradise is for the strangers, or the good tidings. Either way, it's all the same. They do not change their Islam for anything less than it, because they know that their source of success is within that Islam. So no matter what their dhuruf or their conditions are, they're going to hold on to al-Islam in their statements, in their actions, and in their act, in the way that they behave.
إذن أول صفة للغرباء أنهم يتمسكون بالإسلام, يتمسكون بالإسلام, والإسلام هو كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفهم سلف الأمة, لأن الله تبارك وتعالى رضي لنا الإسلام دينا, ومن لم يرضى بالإسلام دينا فلن يتقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى إن الدين عند الله الإسلام, ويقول ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. أي دين هو الذي يراد من الإسلام؟ أي منهج هو الذي يراد بالإسلام؟ أي طريق يجب علينا أن نعتقده لنكون مسلمين حقا كما أراد الله لنا أن نكون مسلمين حقا, وكما أراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نكون مسلمين صدقا؟ هو كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله بفهم أصحاب رسول الله رضي الله عنهم, لأن الله تبارك وتعالى بيّن أن الذي يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فهو في الآخرة خاسر. وقد بيّن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من لم يتبع منهج الصحابة فهو في الدنيا في الآخرة خاسر, كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة, وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة, وستفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قيل من هي يا رسول الله؟ قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. إذن هذا الحديث يبين أن هذه الفرق كلها تخسر إلا فرقة واحدة, ما هي؟ التي تكون على ما هو عليه الرسول وأصحابه. وإذا جمعنا بين الآيات المتقدمة وبين هذا الحديث تبين أن الإسلام الذي رضيه الله لنا هو ما كان عليه رسول الله وأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك هذا الأمر يبين لنا يا إخواني منهج الغرباء, منهج الغرباء, وأنهم على منهج السلف الصالح, منهج الطائفة المنصورة والفرقة الناجية, وهو منهج أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh went on to say that the very first characteristic, as he mentioned prior to this, that their characteristics come in the Quran, the Sunnah, and the statements of the righteous predecessors. He said the very first characteristic that we want to talk about here and we want to discuss and make known to you is that the first characteristic of the ghuraba is that they have the tamassuk bil Islam, that they are holding on to the religion of al-Islam. And al-Islam, as you all know, and it is not something that is ambiguous to anyone, is the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the understanding of the righteous predecessors, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been pleased and satisfied to choose for us as a religion al-Islam, as he said in the Quran in the ayah that everyone is well aware of, verily the religion to Allah is al-Islam. And Allah ta'ala said in another ayah of the Quran, and whoever chooses or desires a religion other than Islam, then it will not be accepted from him. It will be rejected, and he will be from those who are lost in the hereafter. So therefore, the natural question that presents itself for discussion is, what is this religion that Allah Ta'ala wants? And what is the minhaj that Allah Ta'ala wants? And what is the way, the correct way, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants? It is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come to show, who are the real Muslims, not just the Muslim, but the Muslimun haqqa wa sidqa. They are Muslims in truth, and they are Muslims with the haqq which is the truth, and sidq, which is also a form of the truth. He said that Islam that is going to be accepted, that we're talking about, is the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it was revealed and understood by the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and preached and illustrated to his companions. So this issue helps us to clearly understand that whoever follows the way of the Sahabas, then they are on the correct Islam, because they were on the Islam that is the Quran, the Sunnah, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them. And that's why in that hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is again well known by everyone and to everyone, that the Jews broke up into 71 sects, and the Christians broke off into 72 sects, and that this ummah is going to break up into 73 sects, all of them will be in the hellfire with the exception of one sect. Those companions say, Ya Rasulullah, which group is that? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said, it is the group of people who are doing what I'm doing today along with my companions. So this authentic hadith, it clearly illustrates for us and establishes for us that all of the other sects, they will be the people who are losers, and this is the Islam that is accepted by Allah Ta'ala, and this is the meaning of al-Islam. What the companions were upon, from what they understood from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So therefore, if we took those ayat that were mentioned before, in al-Islam, in the deen inda Allah al-Islam, and we were to take that other ayah, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغَيْ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا, if we were to take those ayahs that we mentioned before, and the hadith that we just mentioned right now, it becomes very clear and very apparent, without a lot of discussion, and without a lot of rhetoric, that the only Islam that's going to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, it is this, what we explain, and this explains to us who the ghuraba are. The Firqat al-Najiya and the Ta'ifat al-Mansura, the saved group and the successful group, and this is something that no one should have any doubt about.
إذن هم تمسكوا بكتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفهموها على فهم السلف ثم عملوا بالإسلام, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصفهم بأنهم صالحون, فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طوبى للغرباء أناس صالحون في أناس سوء كثير, أناس صالحون قليل في أناس سوء كثير, من يعصهم أكثر ممن يطيعهم. صالحون أي عاملون بالإسلام, لأن الصالح لا يطلق إلا على العامل بالإسلام, لذلك ما من آية إلا قال الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات, وقال الله تبارك وتعالى على لسان سليمان رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضى. إذا هم صالحون أي عاملون بالإسلام, عاملون بما علموا, واقفون عند حدود الله تبارك وتعالى. وهذا يقودنا يا إخوان إلى بيان أهمية العمل في دين الله, وأهمية العمل في كتاب الله, وأهمية العمل في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأن الإسلام لم يبعثه الله للناس, أو لم ينزل الله كتابه للناس, ولم يرسل رسوله للناس إلا ليعمل الناس بما آتاهم الله على لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى وقل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون. قل اعملوا, فالمطلوب أيضا بعد العلم والإيمان والعمل. ثم يقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون, كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. إن الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا, إذن الله تبارك وتعالى يحب العمل, ويكره لنا عدم العمل، يكره لنا القول دون العمل. لذلك ينبغي على المسلم إن أراد أن يكون صالحا أن يكون من الصالحين، أن يكون من العاملين، وأن يتنافس مع إخوانه في العمل الصالح، لقول الله تبارك وتعالى: وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. يتنافسون في ماذا؟ يتنافسون في الخيرات. واستبقوا الخيرات، واستبقوا الخيرات. لمثل هذا فليعمل العاملون، أي يعملوا بدينهم ويعملوا بما جاء في كتاب الله وبما جاء في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لأن الذي يدعو إلى علم ولا يعمل به يعذب في النار، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يؤتى بالرجل في النار فتندلق أقتاب بطنه، أي أمعاؤه، فيدور عليها كما يدور الحمار على الرحى، فيجتمع عليه أهل النار ممن يعرفه، يقولون: يا فلان، ألم تكن تأمرنا بالمعروف وتنهانا عن المنكر؟ كان يدعو بالقول، كان يتكلم كثيرا لكنه لا يعمل. قال: بلى، قد كنت أمركم بالمعروف ولا آتيه، وأنهاكم عن المنكر وآتيه. يأمر بالمعروف ولا يفعل المعروف، ينهى عن المنكر ويفعل المنكر. كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. إذن ينبغي أيضا أن إذا أردنا أن نكون من الصالحين، أن نكون من الغرباء المؤمنين، أن نكون من العاملين بديننا، العاملين لديننا، العاملين من أجل ابتغاء مرضات ربنا. لأن العمل أيضا يجب أن يكون بوجه الله تبارك وتعالى. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. وينبغي أن يكون عملنا على وفق سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الله من أجل ذلك خلقنا، وخلق الموت والحياة: الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا، أي أيكم أكثر إخلاصا في عمله، أيكم أكثر اتباعا لسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh Jazahullahu Khairan, he went on to say, Ikhwan, after we've explained this to you, the first characteristic of the Ghuraba, and that they are the people who are upon those who are holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the righteous predecessors, we come to the second characteristic of those Ghuraba that everyone should pay attention to, so that we're not of those people who are going to lose, so that we're not of the people who are going to lose the reward of the actions that we put forth. And that is that they are the ones who not only hold on to al-Islam, but they work by al-Islam. They are salihun, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them in the Quran. And yes, there is a difference between at-tamassuk, to hold on to it, and to work by it. The Prophet said about them in the hadith, "Tuba lil ghuraba," the good tidings of for the ghuraba. And he went on to explain who are the ghuraba. He said they are a group of people who are salihun, and their numbers are a few. The ghuraba are a group of people who are righteous, and their numbers are few. And they're in the middle, and they're surrounded by a group of people who are many, and they're not righteous. They're irreligious people. Those people who obey the ghuraba are more than the people who listen to them. Those people who disobey them. So we're going to say this hadith again. طوبى للغرباء. May the glad tidings be for the ghuraba. And he explained, who are they? أناس صالحون قليل. They are some people who are righteous and their numbers are few. And they are surrounded or in the middle of some other people. A lot of people who are evil and their numbers are many. Those people who disobey them are more than the people who obey them. Those people who disobey them and listen and reject what they're saying, they're more than the people who listen to them and obey them. So the Shaykh went on to say, this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they are people who are salihun, the meaning of that is that they are amilun, because they are people who do works. Because you can't be righteous without doing works. Yarhamakallah. And this is why, for those of us who are reading the Quran and we're contemplating the message of the Quran, you'll see over and over and over again that Allah Ta'ala will mention الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, the people who believe and they do righteous works. So we need to understand that the man cannot be described as being salih or righteous if he's not doing anything. So that's the characteristic of the ghuraba. The second one is that they do actions. And the proof that the one who is salih is the one who does the work is the statement of Sulaiman in the Quran alayhi salatu wassalam, when he looked at all of the ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon him, he said, my Lord, give me the means and the ways to give thanks and praise to you for the ni'mah that you have given to me, and help me to be good to my parents, and give me the means and the ways to do the actions that are righteous that you are pleased with. So he said, let me do the righteous actions, the actions that are salih. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, so therefore the people have to be, if they want to be from the ghuraba, those who are standing upon actions and doing the actions. Which brings us to another point that's important, and that is, it shows the importance of doing the works in al-Islam. By working with the dictates of this religion, whether they come from the Quran or the Sunnah or from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Because Allah Ta'ala, He has not sent His book, any book, nor has He sent His messenger, any messenger or any prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam, He has not sent the sunnah and revelation down to the human beings, except He expected for them that they work by that which was sent to them. What would be the benefit of sending all of this, all of these ways and means, and the goal and the objective behind it is not for actions. Allah Ta'ala sent him the Quran and proving this point. He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to say unto them, do your works, for verily Allah Ta'ala is going to see your works and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. So therefore, Ikhwan, after developing and acquiring faith, and after developing and acquiring knowledge, we have to be people who are going to work with that by which we learn and believe in. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, O you who believe, why is it that you say that which you don't do? Why is it that you say that which you don't do? It is a hideous crime in the sight of Allah that you say that which you don't do. Verily Allah loves those people who fight in His cause as if they are one solid cemented structure. So Allah Ta'ala, based on this ayat, He clearly loves actions. He doesn't love for people to take and to just say with their tongues, we believe and we are upon this. No, if you're going to be from the ghuraba, you have to do the actions. So it is obligatory upon every Muslim who is righteous to be from those people who are working. Those people who are working. He has to make the tanafis. You know, he has to be in a race, a competition, a positive, pure competition with his brothers to make the manafasa in the khairat. Sheikh went on to say, in the khairat are all of those things that have been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said in the Quran, and for this reason, let them struggle and let them work. So he went on to say, we have to make the manafasa in all aspects of the deen. We have to make the munafasa with our other brothers in trying to obey and understand and study the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Because the person who is given dawah and he is not working by that which he is given dawah to, he's going to be punished in the hellfire, as it has been clearly illustrated to us in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I'm sure you have heard at least once since this conference has begun. And that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he told us about the man who would be brought forth yawmul qiyamah, and the people in the hellfire would pass him by, and he would be going around on that, on the meal, and his stomach will be dragging on the ground, and he was, this will be his punishment. And the people will come to him and say, "Hey, so and so, what's your situation up in here? Didn't you used to order the people and enjoin the good and used to prevent and prohibit the munkar?" He said, "Yes, I used to order them to do the good and I wouldn't do it myself. And I used to prevent them from the munkar, and I used to come and I used to do the munkar myself." So now, ikhwan, this is a clear proof that it is hideously odious in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that we say that which we don't do. How is it that this man is going to order with the ma'ruf and enjoying the ma'ruf and then turn around and not work by himself? And how is it that he's going to tell the people, don't do bad and don't do evil, and then he himself is one of the first people to fall into it? This is one of the signs of hypocrisy in this religion. So therefore, ikhwan, seriously, I'm saying to you, if we truly, truly, sincerely want to be from the ghuraba, from those people who are strangers, then let it become clear that we have to be the people who are doing the works. We are doing the works. But do we just do the works like that? The Sheikh went on to say, no. We have to do the works for Allah's sake and Allah's sake alone. As he said in the Quran, and they have not been ordered to do anything except to establish the worship of Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, with sincerity. That's how we have to do the works. Sincerity upon our actions, sincerity upon the Quran, the Sunnah, and the ways that we're trying to get close to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is not going to accept from his servants any actions that they put forth that they attribute any partners with him in that thing. The actions are only for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, as he said in the Quran, Allah is the one who created for you life and death to try you, to see which of you are the best in his actions. Which of you are best in his actions? And this meaning, or this statement, which of you are best in his actions, the meaning of it is, which of you follow that which Allah has sent out better than others.
ثم هم مصلحون لغيرهم أي يدعون الناس لأن يكونوا صالحين لأن يكونوا عاملين بالإسلام لأن يكونوا ملتزمين بكتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن العلم خير ولأن العمل خير ولأن الفهم في دين الله خير فهم يحبون لإخوانهم أيضا الخير لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. إذن هم يريدون أن يعلموا الناس يريدون أن يعمل الناس يريدون أن يلتزم الناس كما التزموا بكتاب الله وبسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بفهم صحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. لذلك قال النبي أيضا في وصفهم الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس. إذا أفسد الناس صلحوا، وإذا أفسد الناس أصلحوا، وإذا أفسد الناس كانوا دعاة لهم ليلتزموا بدين الله وبمنهج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولأنهم يدركون أهمية الدعوة إلى الله وأن وظيفتهم وظيفة الأنبياء، لأن وظيفة الغرباء هي وظيفة الأنبياء، لأن الغرباء هم أتباع الأنبياء. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، العلماء هم غرباء وأتباع العلماء هم غرباء، فهم ورثة الأنبياء. ما هي ميراث النبوة؟ علم وعمل ودعوة إلى الله تبارك وتعالى، لقوله تبارك وتعالى: ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين، ولقوله تعالى: قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين، ولقوله تعالى: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولقوله تعالى: ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. إذن الدعوة ضرورة كما أن العمل ضرورة، لأن الله تبارك وتعالى جعلك وارثا لمهمة رسول الله، لمهمة الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. وتدرك أن الأجر أجر الدعوة عظيم عند الله تبارك وتعالى. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: لئن يهدين الله بك رجلا خير لك مما طلعت عليه الشمس، لئن يهدين الله بك رجلا خير لك مما طلعت عليه الشمس، أي من الدنيا، من الدنيا ومن كل ما في الدنيا من متاع وشهوات وأموال ونساء، خير لك عند الله أن يهدي الله بك رجلا. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من دعا إلى هدى، من دعا إلى هدى كان له أجره وأجر من عمل بمثله إلى يوم القيامة، لا ينقص من أجورهم شيئا، لا ينقص من أجورهم شيئا. تفضل.
The Sheikh Salim Salamahullahi went on to say, Ikhwan, that the third characteristic of the ghuraba is that the ghuraba are people who are muslihuna li ghayrihim, and that means they rectify other people, they help to make other people pure and on the right way, and they help their mistakes. He said they go on and they make dawah to the people, and they encourage the people to hold on to the truth, because knowledge is good and actions are good, and they want good for the people. So therefore they step in and they try to give dawah to make the islah of the other people, as Allah's Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam concerning the khair or the good: none of you believes until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself from that which is good. He says, so therefore they make it their responsibility and they take it as a job upon their shoulders that they're ready to carry out, that they teach the people the religion, that which is good, and they help and encourage the people to do the actions which are good. They encourage them to hold on to the kitab and to the sunnah by teaching them the beauty of those two sources, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said in describing them, which is the proof of the third characteristic of the ghuraba: الَّذِينَ يُسْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسِ, that the ghuraba are those people who put right and they rectify what the people made wrong, that the people made al-ifsad in it, they made the fasad in this particular thing. If the people make it wrong, then they're right there in order to do their best to make it right. They understand and they acknowledge the importance of giving dawah to that which is right, and their job and their responsibility is the wadifa of the anbiya. Their job is to do the job of the prophets. The ghuraba, ikhwan, They are the followers of the prophets. Allah Ta'ala's Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us that the ulama or the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And what is the inheritance that the prophets left behind? All of them left behind good works, knowledge, and that which will give people life. As Allah said in the Quran, in so many ahadith, that the miraf or the inheritance that the prophets left behind are knowledge and actions. Listen to these ayahs that Allah said. He said, and who is better in speech than the one who does righteous deeds? And he says, verily I'm from the Muslims. And another ayah say, this is my way. I call to Allah based upon knowledge. Me and those people who follow me. And glory to Allah, I'm not from the mushrikeen. And another ayah, you people are the best ummah that has been brought forth for the people. You order with that which is right, and you prevent that which is munkar, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said in yet another ayat that establishes that the miraf or the inheritance that the prophets left behind, it was and it is knowledge and good actions. Allah Ta'ala said in the other ayat of the Quran, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and with a good exhortation, and argue with them in the way that is best. So the da'wah, ikhwan, and calling and preaching is mandatory. And along with the da'wah, the actions that come as a result of that is mandatory. Allah Ta'ala has made those ghuraba the waratha of the anbiya. They are the inheritors of the prophets, all of them. And we all, as we sit here, we need to ponder and we need to reflect. And we need to reconcile ourselves to understanding that we should have an encouragement and an incentive to be people who are giving da'wah to al-Islam, because the reward of being a da'i is tremendous. Have you not heard the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam when he said to us and his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een, for Allah to guide one man by you is better than everything that is in the dunya, or everything that the shams or the sun has spread its light upon. For Allah to guide one man as a result of you, it is better than everything that the sun has shone on in the dunya. So the da'wah is clear that is better than all of the things that we're doing that make us tired, other than the da'wah efforts. Everything that you're doing that you become tired as a result of that and fatigued, the da'wah is better than that. And the da'wah is better than your shahwa or your desires. The da'wah is better than you being concerned about getting this woman or that woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in yet another authentic hadith concerning the superiority and the virtues of the da'wah over all else, when he said, whoever gives da'wah to the guidance, to that which is correct, he will get the reward of anyone who does that action. Until Yawmul Qiyamah, he'll continue to get that reward, and their reward will not be decreased one bit. So this is a clear proof and a clear indication that the people who have high and lofty goals and objectives, at the top of the list, it should be giving da'wah to Allah's creation.
أيضا هم متعاونون فيما بينهم على البر والتقوى، كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان، لأن الدعوة إلى الله بحاجة إلى تعاون، بحاجة إلى تعاون. وهذا ما أكده الله، أكد العلم والعمل والدعوة والتعاون ربنا تبارك وتعالى في سورة قصيرة قال فيها الإمام الشافعي لو نزلت على الناس لكفتهم، هي سورة العصر، والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. يقسم الله تبارك وتعالى بالعصر وهو الدار وهو عمر البشر وعمر الناس ينقضي كل يوم ينقضي. إن الإنسان الذي لا يستغل هذا الزمن في طاعة الله وفي العمل بدين الله وفي العمل بدين الله ولدين الله بالدعوة إليه ويتعاون مع المؤمنين هو من الخاسرين. إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا. ما الإيمان؟ قول وعمل واعتقاد، وهذا يقتضي العلم. إذا آمنوا بمعنى علموا وفهموا واعتقدوا. ثم انتقل العلم والفهم والاعتقاد إلى عمل صالح وعامل الصالحات. فلما عملوا دعوا الناس ليعملوا بمثلهم وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. دعوا الناس إلى الحق ثم تواصوا فيما بينهم على الحق وتواصوا فيما بينهم على الصبر. تواصوا أي تعاونوا، تعاونوا. لذلك فالغرباء الصالحون متعاونون على البر والتقوى، متعاونون على العمل للإسلام وبالإسلام، متعاونون على الدعوة إلى الله، متعاونون على الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، ليعيدوا الأمة خير أمة. لأن رسالتنا يا إخواننا ليس إصلاح أنفسنا فقط، إصلاح أنفسنا لإصلاح غيرنا، وإصلاح غيرنا لإصلاح أمتنا. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس. إذن فمهمتنا أن نصلح أنفسنا ونصلح غيرنا لننقذ الأمم من الجاهلية إلى الإسلام، من الكفر إلى الإيمان، من الضياع إلى عدل الإسلام. فينبغي أن نكون متعاونين كما وصفنا ربنا في كتابه وكما بينه رسولنا في سنته، وكما كان يفعل سلفنا الأول، كانوا يتعاونون على البر والتقوى. وتذكروا أن الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم كان أحدهم إذا التقى بأخيه وأراد أن يفارق أخاه ماذا قال؟ قرأ عليه سورة العصر. لا يفترقان إلا بعد أن يقرأ أحدهما على الآخر سورة العصر، لأنها تذكرة، تذكرة بمهمة العبد، بوظيفة العبد، بوظيفة الأمة. والعصر: إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
The Sheikh went on to mention the fourth and the final characteristic of the Ghuraba, insha'Allah ta'ala, and that is that they are muta'awinun, or they are people who cooperate with one another. They are cooperating with one another. They have a cooperative effort with one another. And they don't see themselves as being capable of carrying on the da'wah by themselves. And they're off alone by themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran and ordering the ghuraba and cooperate with each other on al-birr wa taqwa. Cooperate with each other, Allah orders you, on righteousness and on fearing Allah. And do not cooperate with each other on al-ithm wal-udwan, with doing that which is wrong and oppressive. So therefore we understand, ikhwan, that the da'wah is in need of cooperation between the people who are giving it and who are doing it. And Allah Ta'ala akkada hadha, or He placed emphasis on this issue and this idea and this concept, that knowledge and the da'wah and the cooperation are three factors that go together, and they are part and parcel of each other. He made a lot of emphasis on this in one small surah of the Quran. That surah that Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said about it, had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed only this surah, it would have been enough for the people. And that is Surah Al-Asr, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, and he says, I swear by the Asr time, verily the mankind, they're in a state of loss, with the exception of those people who believe and they do righteous deeds, and they mutually encourage one another to remain on the truth and to be patient. They cooperate with each other by saying to each other, be on the truth and to be patient. So Allah Ta'ala, He swore by the Asr time, and the Asr time is the Dahr, or the time of each and every human being is going away and it's fleeing. And there is no one who is in a position to hold that time back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by the importance and the severity of this issue that most people are allowing to pass it. They are allowing it to pass them by without any benefit. Except those people who take advantage of this time by spending their time in being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and working by the religion and for the religion, and working because of the religion, those people will be successful. And everyone other than them, they're going to be of those who will be they will be the khasirun, or the people will be losers. In this ayah, ikhwan, when Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ, verily the mankind, this is an Arabic method in which Allah Ta'ala is showing that there is no doubt about this issue, that the mankind, they are in a state of loss, with the exception of those people who believe. And al-Iman consists of statements and actions and beliefs. And those statements and those actions and those beliefs, they cannot be realized without al-ilm. So the person, in order to have iman, he has to have some knowledge. After he said that, except those people who believe and they do righteous deeds, Allah Ta'ala went on to mention what we were talking about here today. But before that, I want you to understand that this ayat is again a proof to show, as we mentioned before, that the actions, or the actions, they have to be righteous actions which are acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after they do those actions, they make da'wah to the people. They call the people to also do those actions. So therefore, ikhwan, the people who are ghuraba, they are the ones who have this ta'awun, or this cooperation between themselves. They cooperate on al-birr and on al-taqwa. And they cooperate with each other on al-Islam, and they cooperate with each other on al-da'wah, and they cooperate with each other on the ordering of the ma'ruf, enjoining what is good, and preventing and prohibiting the munkar. So that this ummah can realize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought her forth for, and that is so that we can be the best of the ummahs. But on top of this, we have to make you all understand that this good that we are supposed to be given to ourselves, it is not only for us, but it's the responsibility of the ummah to bring the good and the khair to the other communities and the other umam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, identifying what's our job, when He said, you people are the best ummah, or for that reason we have made you an ummah that is in the middle course, and we made you witnesses over the other communities, and the messenger is a witness over you. So we have to make the islah, and we have to rectify ourselves, and we have to rectify other than ourselves. We have to take the people away from kufr and to bring them to al-Islam. Take the people from the darkness and bring them into the light. Take the people from oppression and going overboard and bring them to the justice and the beauty of al-Islam. So those غرباء are people who are متعاونون, they are cooperating between themselves. Look at this. Those companions who were telling you al-Islam is what they were upon and what they understood, we have authentic evidences that show and support. Every time or many times that they used to meet each other in the street or in the marketplace, they would meet each other and greet each other. And those companions, what they used to do before they would split and part company, is that they would read to each other Suratul Asr. One of them would say to the other, by reading the surah, Wal Asr, Innal insana lafi khusr, Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, wa tawasu bil haqqi wa tawasu bil sabr. He will read that to him in order to say to that person, look, what I'm saying to you is a reminder of why we were put here. And what I'm reading to you right now is our job and our responsibility. So likewise, I want to read to you this surah so that you can realize why we have put here is for this particular hadith or this surah of the Quran. So let us not forget. And the Shaykh went on to read. InshaAllah, tabarak wa ta'ala, takhtam ya Shaykh Awd. Khaleem. So now, if you brothers have any questions, inshallah, we're going to allow you to answer the... Actually, they wanted the questions to be written, but...
Okay.
The people who disobey the ghuraba, are they Muslims on the deviant path who surround them? The people who disobey the ghuraba, are they the Muslims on the deviant paths who surround them? الَّذِينَ يَعْصُونَ الْغُرَبَى يَا شَيْخ هَلْهُمَ الَّذِينَ الْمُبْتَدِعَ الَّذِينَ حَوْلَ الْغُرَبَى ما وصف الذين يعصون الغرباء منهم
الذين يعصون الغرباء وصفوا في الحديث بأنهم أناس سوء أناس سوء أي أناس يفعلون فعل السوء يعتقدون اعتقاد السوء فهم أهل البدع وأهل الأهواء وأهل المعاصي وهؤلاء من الأمة الإسلامية أما من الملل الأخرى فهم الكفار الذين يعصون الدعاة إلى الله تبارك.
He went on to say جزاه الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليه ورضي الله عنا وعنكم. He said that those people who disobey the غرباء, they have been described by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم in the hadith when he said they are أناس سوء. Unasun so, that they are bad people, evil people. They do evil deeds, and they have evil inclinations and understandings in their aqidah. So we understand them to be the people of bid'ah, and the people of al-ahwa, or desires, and the people of ma'asi, the people who want to disobey Allah and do what they want to do. They are the people who are from this ummah. But also, inclusive of those people is the kuffar. So all of them are surrounding the ghuraba, and that's why they are the people who are few, who are righteous, being surrounded by people who are many, who are evil. Dear respected Sheikh, is the term Salafi used to describe this furqatan, Najia, or Ahl Sunnah in general? Please explain. Is the term Salafi used to describe these Furqatan? Furqatun. To describe the Furqatan Najia, or Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah in general? هذه تسمية السلفي أو السلفية. هل هذا الاسم ينطبق وهل يستخدم حتى تندرج تحتهم الفرقة الناجية وأهل السنة هل هي مترادفة؟
ينبغي أن نتبين أن جميع هذه التسميات مترادفات، ولكن كل تسمية تدل على صفة. هذه التسميات مترادفات، لكن كل تسمية من التسميات تدل على صفة من الصفات. فمثلا أهل السنة والجماعة اسم يدل على اتباعهم للسنة واجتماعهم على أمر الجماعة الأولى وهي الصحابة. السلفية مرادفة لها وتعني الانتساب للسلف الأول وهم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. الغرباء مرادفة لها وتعني أنهم بقوا غرباء عندما ابتعد الناس عن الدين فتمسكوا بالإسلام. الفرقة الناجية مرادفة لها لأنها نجت من الخلاف ونجت من النار في الآخرة. طائفة المنصورة مرادفة لها لأنها منصورة في الدنيا على أعدائها، على الذين يخذلونها منصورة عند الله تبارك وتعالى بالفوز بالجنة. وهكذا هذا الذي عليه اتفاق علماء السلف أن هذه الأسماء مترادفات لكنها صفات تدل على صفة معينة في الجماعة الناجية والفرقة الناجية المنصورة، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh went on to say this question, it has to be explained and it has to be understood. He said that these names, the فرقة الناجية, the طائفة المنصورة, السلفية, أهل السنة والجماعة, Al-Ghuraba, all of these titles are one and the same thing, and they are pointing to one and the same thing. But each title by itself is a description of something. They're one of the same things under one umbrella. They are the same things, but each one individually is a description of something else. They all mean the same thing. الطائفة المنصورة, it means the فرقة الناجية. الفرقة الناجية, it means الغرباء. الغرباء, it means أهل السنة والجماعة. They all mean the same thing. But each one of those names, if you were to write it by itself, you can give it a different definition because of the description that it has. For an example, he said, أهل السنة is called أهل السنة because of the description that's going on, and that is, they're أهل السنة because they follow the Sunnah. The ideology as well as the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the jama'ah, and the sunnah wal jama'ah, is because they follow the companions radiallahu anhu. As-salafiyah is a description because it is describing and is talking about their being connected, or their intisab, their being connected to the people who came in the past, the righteous predecessors. The Ghuraba, they're being called the Ghuraba because they're the only ones who are holding upon that which is correct when the other people are doing that which is other than what's correct, so therefore they are strangers in the middle of those people. As Firqat al-Najiyah, or the saved group or sect, they are the ones who are called that because they are going to be successful. They have been saved from the ikhtilaf or the khilafat, the differences that the people fall into, and inshallah they're going to be saved from the hellfire as well. Alhamdulillah. Yahdikumullah wa yuslihu balakum. As well as the Ta'ifatul Mansura, they are the helped group or the victorious group, because in the dunya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them over those people who have differences with them, and those people who try to forsake them, and those people who are against them. So they all are one and the same, and yet at the same time they all call to a different characteristic. The person said, I read in the book The Signs of the Day of Judgment by Al-Imam Ibn Kathir. The hadith whose words are something like this. There are 71 sects of Jews, all of them in the hellfire except one. And there are 72 sects of the Christians, all of them in the hellfire except one. And there are 72 sects of the Muslims, all in the hellfire except one. If this is sahih, please explain how the Jews and the Christians are going to heaven when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as you mentioned, no other religion except Islam, and who are these Christians, for who these Christians and Jews are, who are they? يقول السائل يا شيخ انه او انها قرأ في كتاب اشراط الساعة للامام ابن كثير حديثا من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم او قرأ حديثا ان اليهود افترقت الى 71 فرقة كلها في النار الا واحدة والنصارى افترقت كلها في النار الى 72 فرقة كلها في النار الا واحدة وهذه الأمة ستفترق إلى 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. يسأل إن كانت هذه الرواية هي صحيحة فكيف يفهم أنه سيوجد أو توجد طائفة من النصارى ومن اليهود موجودتين في النار في الجنة وأنت قلت إن الله إن الدين عند الله الإسلام.
هذا الحديث حديث صحيح وهو حديث عوف بن مالك في سنن ابن ماجه وغيره اسناد حسن صحيح بين فيه الرسول ان في اليهود فرقه ناجيه وان في النصارى فرقه ناجيه وان في هذه الامه فرقه ناجيه وهذا لا يخالف ما ذكرت من قول الله تبارك وتعالى ان الدين عند الله الاسلام ومن يبتغي غير الاسلاميين فلا قبول منه في الاخره الخاسرين لان هذا الحديث يخبر عن اليهود قبل الاسلام ويخبر عن النصارى قبل الاسلام لكن عندما جاء الاسلام نسخ الديانات السابقه فكل يهودي وكل نصراني يسمع بهذا الرسول ولا يؤمن به فهو في النار فليس في اليهود فرقه ناجيه بعد الاسلام وليس في النصارى فرقة ناجية بعد الإسلام إنما الفرقة الناجية في هذه الأمة والله أعلم.
والله I think if you brothers were really listening and not just waiting for the translation most of you, if you were really listening and you trying to understand feeling that Allah is Al-Qadir and he can give you an understanding I'm sure most of you know that's sahih and you know what he was saying so you should really really try to pay attention Because I'm telling you, when we went to Medina, we used to not know what those people were talking about. But when you find yourself really listening, somehow Allah Ta'ala gives you this understanding. And now we have women who don't speak Arabic, and brothers, women who speak English, and the other ones speak Arabic. They come together, and how is it possible women can get together and they talk to each other? She's Arabic, she's English, and neither one of them speak the other's language, and yet they understand each other about something about the dunya. Now you're coming here and you're talking about the Firqat al-Najiyah and the Ta'ifat al-Mansura. Wallahi, if you just lend your ear to the Shaykh and you try to pick up some words, you're going to say, man, I understood that. I understood that. So maybe we should just go to the second question. The Shaykh said that this hadith is sahih. It's authentic. But pay attention to this. He said that it's sahih linguistically. Lughatan, he said that. Sahih. It's authentic. Then he went on to say the narrator of the hadith is Auf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Auf ibn Malik. And this hadith can be found in the Sunan of Al-Imam ibn Majah and other than him, rahmatullahi alayhi. The ruling of the hadith is that it's Hassan. That it's a Hassan hadith, meaning it's sahih, it's authentic. He went on to say, what we understand from this hadith is that the Firqat al-Najiyah that those Jews and the Christians, they have a Firqat al-Najiyah as well. Both of them have a Firqat al-Najiyah. But there is no contradiction between this authentic hadith and the two ayats that we read. Verily the religion in the sight of Allah to Allah is al-Islam. Whoever chooses a religion other than al-Islam won't be accepted from him. There is no contradiction because the understanding and the harmony of the two and the way we understand it is that their Firqat al-Najiyahs that took place, that are going to be in paradise, is what was before al-Islam. They had their Firqat al-Najiyah, the Jews and the Christians. But after al-Islam, they had no Firqat al-Najiyah. They don't have any furqatun najiyah. And the Sheikh, before answering that question, he said, that's a good question. In the ayat of the Quran, and call to the way of your law with wisdom. How do we understand the word wisdom here? في قوله سبحانه وتعالى ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة إلى آخره. ما مفهوم الحكمة في هذه الآية؟
الحكمة في هذه الآية لها تفسيران ولا تعارض بينهما. تفسير الأول، الحكمة هو إصابة الحق أو وضع الحق في موضعه. تفسير الثاني، هي سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقول الله تبارك وتعالى واذكرن ما يتلى في بيوتكن من آيات الله والحكمة والذي بعث في الأميين رسولا يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتابة والحكمة. إذن الحكمة هو السنة. وإذا رجعنا إلى التفسير الأول نجده يسلم كما يقولون، أي يوافق التفسير الثاني. فإن الإنسان لا يمكن أن يعرف كيف يضع الأمور في مواضعها إلا إذا صار على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الشيخ بارك الله فيه وفيكم، he said that this wisdom in this ayah has two meanings and they are not contradictory towards each other. Instead they go and they harmonize. The first meaning of al-hikmah, call to the way of your Lord with hikmah, it means isabatul haq, to call to your way, to call to the way of your Lord with putting everything in its proper place. That's the first meaning. Al-hikmah is to be upon the truth and to call to that which is truthful by putting everything in its proper place. That's the first meaning. The second meaning of al-hikmah in this ayah is the sunnah. Call to the way of your Lord, call to the way of your Lord with the sunnah. And the proof of that it means a sunnah, is the statement in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhunna, and rehearse you women of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what is read to you in your homes from the book, from the kitab wa min al-hikmah, what is read from the book and the wisdom. And the hikmah here means the sunnah. Rehearse to the people. And in another ayah Allah Ta'ala said that Allah is the one who sent a messenger to the unlettered people from amongst, he was from them, from their own selves. He taught them and he purified them, and he taught them from the kitab and from the hikmah. And the hikmah here is clearly meaning the sunnah. So he says, so as it is said by the scholars of the people of knowledge, these two meanings explain and help one another. The first meaning is what? Calling, putting everything in its proper place. He said you won't be able to put everything in its proper place unless you know the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. What do you have to say, Sheikh, when you try to rectify the wrong? The people always say, look at your own faults. Or they say, are you without sin? Or they say, are you a scholar? يسأل السائل ماذا يفعل الإنسان يا شيخ إذا أمر بالمعروف وأراد أن ينهى عن المنكر فيقال له هل أنت بدون تقصير عندك ذنوبك وأنت لست بعالم، فكيف يتعامل مع هذا القول ومع هذا الشخص؟
الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر مناط بكل مسلم، إذا رأى منكرا أن يغيره، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رأى منكم منكرا، من رأى منكم أي من كل مسلم منكرا فليغيره بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان. إذن الإنسان يرى المنكر فيجب أن يعرف أنه منكر، إذن ينبغي أن يكون عالم بهذه المسألة أنها منكر، ثم يغيرها بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه. وهكذا الإنسان الذي تقول له هذا منكر وهذا لا يجوز وهذا في مخالفة لشرع الله، فإن استطعت أن تغير ذلك بيدك فهذا الواجب، وهذا يمكن أن تغيره في زوجتك أو في ولدك، فإن لم تستطع فبقولك بالنصيحة، فإن لم يسمع من لك فبقلبك، وأن تفارق المنكر وأهل المنكر، ولا تصاحبهم إلا بالدعوة إلى الله.
He said that enjoining the good and preventing the evil is manat bikulli Muslim, or it is the responsibility. Everyone is responsible for this from the Muslims. Every single person is responsible because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: whoever sees an evil deed, then let him change it with his hand, with his tongue, or with his heart. You all know the hadith. But if you see it, you have to be able to recognize it. So knowledge is one of the conditions. He said that as for the person who is saying what has been mentioned and presented here today, then it's just your responsibility to give an explanation, and you're not in charge of making people follow the explanation. That's what he said in a nutshell. And inshallah, we're going to bring this to a close because our brother Abu Tasneem Dawood Adib is outside, and we would like to Sheikh, we would like to thank the Sheikh for his cooperation, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If the brothers have any suggestions about how we can get more benefit out of them, then you should not be shy to come to us and try to set up those special sit-ins with you. Some have already been set up. So may Allah Ta'ala bless all of us, have mercy upon all of us. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ahsanta ya Shaykhana.